from the UBO Business Services Studios. You're listening to KTXX FM and HD1 BK, KTAE AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros now delivers and offers curbside pickup. For info on placing your lunch or dinner order, visit vaqueroscafe.com. Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
P&E.
What's P&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Good times on a Friday. And no, we're not taking requests. We're not playing the 80s retro hit Spank the Monkey. That's not going to happen.
No.
Or no selections from the band The Monkey.
By the way, I don't think that was Howard Cosell. That was Jimmy the Greek that said that, correct?
No, it was Howard Cosell.
It was?
Yeah. Jimmy the Greek got canceled for...
Oh, they're not smart enough to be quarterbacks or something like that, right?
Howard Cosell was the one that did the... Look at that little... Yeah, run.
Huh.
It was very racist.
Yes.
It turns out, like, the story, like, Howard Cosell, that's what he called his grandkids. Like, he would call his little grandkids little monkeys when the little monkeys were running around at his house. And so he just took it to the right, to the TV, and didn't think anything of it. But, didn't go well for him.
Did not go well.
No.
Did not go well. No, did not.
He was the best, though.
Sensitive training plus.
Like, I don't even know if today Jimmy the Greek could be called Jimmy the Greek. Isn't that offensive?
To who? Greeks?
I don't know. I don't know. What?
No, you probably couldn't. I don't think you can. No, I don't think that's, it's not like it's not appropriate. It's just, you're just scared to do it. I've been trying to get you to say certain things and you just won't do it. I'm not happy about that because you say I can
like
say
my
it.
Job.
Well, you say I can say it, but if I can say it, you can say it. We're partners. Come on. Bring it on out.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy the Greek got canceled because he went into the...
They're not smart enough deal.
No, it was that the black athlete is better because of breeding. And let's not go there.
Oh, did he go...
Yeah.
He didn't go all the way back to like Kunta Kinte stuff, did he?
Slave trading, yes.
Oh, he did? Did he? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he did.
He went to Mandingo stuff?
No.
Did he? I mean, how far back did he go?
Go to the Googles. It'll be on YouTube.
I'm not looking at that because that stuff is the downfall of society. I've already seen that. Enough of that today.
He wasn't like on the show at the time. I believe it was at like a function where he was interviewed about it, if memory serves. But I'll.
Oh, you mean like Fuzzy Zeller stuff?
Yeah. But you get canceled for stuff like that.
I guess you
rightfully
do.
So.
Yeah.
In most cases. But here we are on a Friday talking football and making picks. We'll do our Supreme Lending picks for charity at the bottom of the hour. We need a bounce back week. Buck went 1-4 last week. But all four teams had terrible weeks. The only person that had a winning record of all the pickers last week was Bob Cole, who went 3-2.
His wife did that. Linda did that picking.
Linda did that?
Yes.
We went 1-4. Our only win last week was Iowa. And Zay and I were trying to argue for Iowa State. We would have gone 0-5.
I know. How did Michael Scott and...
I'll look it up.
Tammy Faye do.
We'll get the full stats at the bottom of the hour. But let's talk some Texas football. And let me ask you this, Buck. I want to take this chance to pick our Grande Equipment, Grande performer of the game. Buddy Wes Murray and his team over at Grande Equipment. We come in on Monday. Who are we talking about that maybe – because, I mean, Casey Thompson is the easy one. But is there someone else on either side of the ball that you think we'll be talking about Monday because they stepped up and had a good game?
Well, I think you go back to the guy that we've been that everybody's eyes have been on in the entire season. That would be Bijan Robinson. I think Bijan is going to come back with one of those massive games, and I think it's going to happen over the next 2 weeks. I think he'll be to the point where you got to drag him out of the game anyway. I mean, he will be dynamic against Rice. Come on. I mean, he should go for 200-plus yards in the run game and a couple in the pass game and then sit him down, and the other guy should play. That should be a no-brainer for this team to get going, because if he doesn't get going, then you're going to have a long season. Period.
He's your best player.
Yes. Your best player has to get going.
And most explosive player.
Correct.
And Casey Thompson and the quarterbacks have gotten the headlines this week. But I agree with you. But I'm going to pick a little under-the-radar guy. I think this is the week where we come in talking about Xavier Worthy, the freshman, for the first time. I've been to both games live, and so I get to see him, number eight, on the field running routes. He's got that speed, and Sark keeps talking about how good of a practice player he is. And the one thing I think for sure about Casey Thompson over Hudson Card is Casey throws a better deep ball. And we've seen Casey Hudson struggle with the deep ball where there's chances, but it's over the wrong shoulder or there's not enough air under it or whatever. I think Casey's an aggressive quarterback, and I think we saw it in the Alamo Bowl. He'll take shots when they're there, and I think certainly against this Rice defense. I think there have been opportunities in the previous two games to hit Xavier, and I think this might be a game where we come in saying, man, Xavier Worthy, maybe a couple touchdowns, maybe a long one in there as well. We know Jordan Whittington is going to be the focus of the Rice defense. Who else steps up? I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy, the freshman.
That's a good call.
Grande equipment, Grande performer. And no one's taking the offensive line. Zay, you want to take an offensive lineman as the Grande performer of the week? What about on defense, Buck? I mean, this is a Rice team that's limited offensively. You heard Zay say it, or Lee Sterling say it. Each quarterback's already thrown three interceptions this season. That's a lot. They don't really have a quarterback. But as you heard Steve Sarkisian say, they'll scheme you up.
Yeah, I'll take Jacoby.
Ooh, Jacoby Jones.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah, because he was after the Louisiana game, I talked about how much I love the way he played. He was a true non-factor. He and number 18, I didn't even see those dudes last week.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
Ovi.
That's that deal where you talk about them 1 week, and then for the University of Texas, it's been like that for years, where guys disappear for like three games, and then they reappear. You need a consistent play. Number 18 needs to play consistently, and Jacoby needs to show back up.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And they got canceled by Arkansas.
Right.
And again, I thought the defense held firm for two quarters, but it gave in late for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. This is where they have a big advantage because I don't think the Rice offense is ready to roll. Luke McCaffrey is their quarterback. He's thrown three picks already. Willie Green started the Arkansas game. He's thrown three picks already. Neither of them completes 50% of their passes.
And they're not very imposing when they're sitting back there as the quarterback.
No. So my defensive Grande performer of the game is going to be Anthony Cook. I think if Rice is going to move the ball, they've got a tight end that's kind of an H-back kind of player named Jordan Myers. He's got more catch. He's got seven catches on the season for them. And Sark talked about him yesterday. They move him all over the field. He's kind of one of those hybrid guys. He's a receiver sometimes, a tight end. He'll come out of the backfield. And that's going to be Anthony Cook's job as the nickel player. He's kind of their star. That's what they call that position, the star position that kind of goes everywhere. So I'm going to pick Anthony Cook, number 11. I think he's going to have a big game trying to shut down their best weapon on offense, and I think that's the guy we'll be talking about. But this is a get-well game. I mean, they really—
Absolutely. For all of them.
You really can't find a matchup that doesn't heavily favor Texas, even coming off a shellacking like they took.
But I'd be interested to see who walks on that field for these guys. You know, there's certain guys that are playing that I'm thinking, you know, we talked about the numbers. I mean, we talked about the safety, the defensive end. I'm thinking, wow, this is what you're going to – are you living with these guys for the remainder of the season? Is there somebody better? Did somebody have a better week coming up? Are you going to make any real-life changes or – are we going to see the same defensive guys that start the game? Are we going to? Well, against this team, they can get better. You can get better against Rice. And you should. By the way, you should get better against Rice.
Well, I mean, I think with this new coaching staff, this is probably what fans don't want to hear, but I think this coaching staff will allow them to have one bad game, right?
Yeah.
And they had a terrible game against Arkansas.
I agree.
So I think you'll see mostly the same starters. But
it's the preseason still kind of game, preseason games.
But if the same mistakes that they've drilled down on in practice this week, as you heard Steve Sarkisian say, they were very intentional this week. They've been very focused on the individual stuff that we didn't do right. If those mistakes continue to happen at any position, you're going to see a change, I think, because they know that the real season begins next week.
Correct.
This is the final chance to tune it up and get it right. And as we've said, the Big 12 schedule comes fast. I mean, Texas Tech was an overtime game for them last year that you had to battle back to win in Lubbock. The TCU game is always a challenge. Then it's Oklahoma. Then it's Oklahoma State. I mean, you got to be ready to go.
You're talking about teams that should be, when you play them over the next couple of weeks, will be undefeated themselves. They'll be feeling pretty good about themselves.
I don't think Tech loses to Florida International, FIU, and Lubbock this weekend.
And who does TCU play? They play somebody that
they're off this week.
Yeah,
and then
so
they'll
be undefeated.
Then they play SMU, which is the skillet game. That's always a tough game for them.
Sure.
But I agree. I think they'll likely be undefeated. And Oklahoma will likely be undefeated because they play, you know, Nebraska
so
tomorrow.
So we're going to get into this thing. You got to give somebody a couple losses here.
For sure. For sure. But you just have to play better. I mean, that's the hard part. I know it was Louisiana, but we saw Louisiana last night throttle Ohio out of the MAC.
It's a good team.
49-21. Louisiana's a good football team. Texas handled them fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then Arkansas humbled Texas. I mean, I think once we have more of a body of work, we can be a little more certain on things. But, I mean, was that just a bad night for Texas at Arkansas? Did they get rattled by the crowd? Did they go in overconfident because they watched Arkansas fumble around with Rice for three quarters?
Or we'll find out when Arkansas plays Texas A&M the following week.
Right. Well, no question. Well, the more body of work we get, the more evidence we can make more certain opinions. But at the same time, you know, it's very possible Steve Sarkisian ran into something all coaches at Texas deal with, that the Texas players, and let's hear Sark talking about this, the Texas players watched, even though the coaches told them you made a bunch of mistakes in the Louisiana game, they won the game by 20 points and everybody was patting them on the back.
Right.
Then they sit and watch the Arkansas
film.
Boy,
have we seen that before here.
Right. We sit and watch the Arkansas film and think, man, they're terrible. They fumbled around with Rice for three quarters and they were losing in the fourth, going into the fourth. We got this easy. We're going to go into Arkansas and name our score. Well, obviously, that's the Longhorn Country Club culture that
can't
happen.
And he's learning about his team. I think he learned a lot.
Yeah, that can't happen. Let's hear Sark talking about the five offensive linemen. Will they use other guys? And he kind of goes into that they, you know, this is about playing to your level, playing to your standard. Here's Sark on using more than just the five current offensive linemen.
In the approach of them, you know, working together, playing together, finishing blocks, sustaining those blocks. But again, being a cohesive unit, it's not about one guy. It's about understanding where my help is coming from, understanding the calls internally to deal with, you know, leverage of defensive linemen and leverage of where linebackers are, and then trusting the calls and working together. And, you know, like I said, you know, I think sometimes those issues become glaring after a loss because I don't necessarily think we didn't have some of those issues versus Louisiana, but sometimes as players, we don't want to, you know, we don't quite understand why that would be an issue when we just won a ball game. Well, now all of a sudden you lose a game and they start to become glaring to the players. And so, as I said, you don't always want to have a loss to magnify the issues that we have that we need to rectify. But sometimes that's needed. And I think this week was definitely that case.
And once again, I'll say, Coach, no, you've had those glaring things happen in wins. You just haven't been here to see those.
Correct.
We've seen those. We as fans have seen those.
Well, look,
even in wins or defeats, we've seen glaring things happen with this, especially with this offensive line.
Well, and gosh, that'll be the challenge for this coaching staff and Steve Sarkisian. It's, gosh, who was the? I think it was Chip Brown who had a story way back when Sark was hired in January that opined that, look, the number one problem is about culture. It's about the culture and the country club mindset
mm-hmm.
that no one's been able to turn. You know, Mack Brown struggled with it at times at Texas over his decade plus here.
Yeah, when he decided to quit recruiting and think he just had it made.
Well, yeah, I think the coaches got into a little bit of the country club
right.
mindset too after winning the national title and all the success.
It's a good place, man.
It is, but, you know, it's... This is what makes Nick Saban and Alabama great. This is what Steve Sarkisian got to coach the last 2 years. It's fourth and goal every day. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It's all the time. It doesn't. There is no letdown.
No.
And look, it's very possible that they just got steamrolled by Arkansas because they weren't as physical. But I also think
that's for sure. That's the reality of it. They weren't as physical.
But they also think they weren't ready for the fight like they needed to be. There's a mindset that you have to go in when you're getting in a dogfight like that. And I'm not sure they were sure they were getting into a dogfight.
Well, I don't know what it is because week in and week out, you hear from whether it's the AD or anybody else, you know we're going to get the best out of everybody that plays us. And that always drives me crazy about Texas is you're going to get our best shot. They're going to give you the best shot because you're Texas. The culture will change when it's, well, you give us the best shot, you're going to get your ass kicked no matter what. That's when the culture will change at Texas when everybody's best shot is not good enough.
I'm just trying to remember.
Not gonna, it's an every week thing here. It's, you know, TCU is going to give us the best shot. Well, of course.
Right, and that's becomes the challenge for Sark is to, he talked about it last week leading up to this game, that it's a nameless, faceless opponent, right? It's about us.
Right.
It's about playing to that standard. And that's,
but that's not the way the kids seem to see it.
So how do you turn that? And I will say, I'm trying to remember where I saw it, but I did watch over at orangebloods.com, Jeff and his team are doing a great job with name, image, and likeness. They've signed up several players who do weekly interviews on the website. And, you know, they've got Keandre Coburn, they've got Bijan Robinson, I think, does a deal, and then Jake Majors, the center. And I was trying to find some sound on this, but he talked about that we didn't have a good week of practice. No, there was something off during practice. Our coaches were telling us we weren't preparing like we needed to, and you just heard Sark kind of allude to it, that maybe coming off a win and everybody patting you on the back, you know, you don't take – and then you watch Arkansas, again, struggle with Rice, that we got this, and then you get your ass kicked. I mean,
yeah, welcome to the country club.
Yeah, well, does it change? We'll see. This is what today is about. Excuse me, tomorrow is about, and then this is what, you know, here comes Texas Tech. Can they get through that? And that's why I say more body of work. Was it just one really bad game?
Well, I think that's what
is this a trend?
Right. I think that's when we talked to Chris Beard. He talked about his culture. It's not, what did he say? How did he put it about his culture? It's non-negotiable. Our culture is non-negotiable. This is what we do when we take the court, whether it's a practice or a game, or we go to class. None of this is we have certain things in our culture that is non-negotiable. And that means I don't give a rat's ass who we play. I don't care if, you know, you tell me that, you know what, this finger right here is kind of bruised up. I don't know if I'm going to shoot free throws. It's non-negotiable. You practice. This is the way we're going to do things.
Right. But I would also say Chris Beard, you know, said, look, because I guarantee you we'll have games where Chris Beard's team struggles and just looks bad.
Well, everybody's right? going to struggle.
Right. And that's what I still leave out the conversation for Texas football is, was that just one bad night where it was a bad week of prep?
And because I've seen it too many too many individuals on this team.
Correct. That's the challenge of this coaching staff is to not let that happen again. Not let the rat poison, as Nick Saban calls it, right? And I mean, Texas has no right to be overconfident against anybody. They've not earned the right to be overconfident at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alabama, gosh, you could see it with Nick Saban. There's just a natural human letdown at some point, and he doesn't allow it to happen. That's going to be Sark and this coaching staff job is to play it at a different level, because that was the downfall of Tom Herman. They were a week-to-week team that were up and then down and then up and then down. You know, if Sark doesn't correct it, it'll continue to be an ongoing problem. But can he correct it? Can he use this game as the launching pad to where we have to play, how we have to perform?
Well, I know this. Coaches see that at practice. What the kid is talking about right there, dude, and if you can't nip it in the bud right away, you're talking about a barrel rolling down a hill. It is really hard to stop. It is really, really, no matter what you say to him, no matter what you try to do, if you have 2 days of just really poor practices and you talk about how you're going to get it back tomorrow, if you don't catch it today and stop practice and stop doing the things that you're doing wrong at a practice, like do it again, no, do it again, no, do it again. I mean, if you don't stop those things and say, you know what, we'll be better tomorrow, if you skip that day and say we'll be better tomorrow, you're in for a whole lot of problems.
Agreed. And that's, Sark talked yesterday about the intentional focus they've had at practice, which is good. He was pleased with it. We'll see if it shows up on Saturday. But, you know, it's a get-well game. But it's got to be every Saturday now for Texas. You got one. There's one mulligan there. But Big 12 play is coming. And now there might be a team that beats you because they're better, right? They beat you because it's Oklahoma and they're the third-ranked team in the country, and it's mm-hmm. a hard-fought game. But, you know, that was a lay-down performance by Texas. You can't have multiple games like that.
No.
And, look, I mean, Steve Sarkisian already has a wider margin of loss on his record than Tom Herman ever did.
Well, not only that, I mean, I heard those guys talking about his road game wins. Ooh, that's kind of nasty.
Well, in his coaching career, yes, Steve Sarkisian's road record, not strong.
No.
But, I think there's fair to say that he took over an 0-12 program year one and, mm-hmm. and he had to rebuild that thing.
You're going to not do very well. Is it open phones, open line Fridays? Did we quit that?
Where did that go?
What happened? What happened to that, Zay? Did you quit that?
I think the monkey business
stole that.
Oh, man. Well, we can take some calls if you want to.
Yeah, maybe next week.
Maybe next week. Yeah. Maybe next Friday.
Oh, it's the opening of the conference play.
It is.
How's that?
For Texas Tech. We'll do open line Friday.
There you go.
All right, coming back, we're making picks. The five big games that we have selected, including that Auburn-Penn State game and the other big ones. We'll get to it. And Alabama, Florida will be in the mix as well. We'll get to all of it. It's B&E with you. Oh, plus, here come the phone calls. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Y'all can get off the phone. John McClellan's trying to call us right now. There's no Oberlines for you today. Next week.
Oh, we can talk to James and George. They're on the line right now.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, get off. Get off.
Anybody remember several years ago when Odell Beckham Jr. was still on the Giants and a bunch of the Giants took a picture on a boat? Zay, you remember this picture on the boat?
Shirtless?
Shirtless.
Yeah, weed on the boat. They were wilding.
They had the weed.
Yeah.
It's probably some other stuff, but it's like
Trey Songz.
Yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of dudes. Trey Songz in that, the rapper?
Yeah, rapper, singer.
Do you realize since that picture was taken, it may not be a coincidence, or it may be, but that was 67 games ago for the New York Giants? 67, is that right? 49 plus 18?
And they're still as bad.
Well, think about this. I mean, they were kind of a team on the rise, it was thought to be, when Odell Beckham was there, and they had this young talent. In their last 67 games, after last night's one-point loss to the Washington football team, that should have been a win. They should have won that game.
1 point.
Their record, the mighty Big Blue, the New York Football Giants.
I suited up for them. Don't
18-49. Oh. 18-49 since that picture on the boat with Trey Songz. Probably not a coincidence. I don't know, but that is bad. Worst record in the NFL in the last 67 games. I mean, that is not good. Oh, where have you gone, Tom Coughlin?
Yeah, no kidding. Remember how they tried to run him out of the... You, get out. Two Super Bowl rings, and they wanted him out.
Yeah, well, you know, he was...
He was too rough on him.
Where's Bill Parcells when you need him?
Yeah.
I mean, that's over four seasons worth of football that they win 26% of their games. And last night, how Darius Slayton drops a wide-open touchdown pass... I picked Washington, and I was rooting for Washington.
The holding penalty when the guy goes to the house.
Yeah, just dumb stuff. I mean, I actually, you know, little Cowboy fans don't like the name Jason Garrett, but I think Jason Garrett's doing a nice job with Daniel Jones.
Yes, he did. Well, he did last night. He was
fantastic. Guys?
He's coaching around a bad offensive line, and Saquon Barkley's not back to where they want him to be. They're being careful with him. But that's a game they should have won, but they lost. So that's what they do. They're 0-2.
Yeah, right.
How about this for the team you suited up for, Big Blue?
Big Blue.
They're 0-5, or 0-2 for the fifth straight year. 5 years in a row.
Dude, that's hard to believe.
Yeah. 0-2, 5 years in a row.
Yeah, that's really hard for me to believe. That's really five in a row for them.
That is not a good organization right now. And we'll see. They're now... But by the way, the Cowboys could be 0-2 coming on up. Monday, because they play a very good team on Sunday afternoon. With that in mind, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is our friend... John McClellan, Supreme Lending, and his great team over there for our picks for charity. John, safe to say we had a rough week last week, my friend.
We probably had more a rougher week than just anybody else. But, hey, you know what? It's football, right?
It is football. Buck, you and I went 1-4 last week. Trey and Chad in the midday went 0-5. 0-5.
Oh.
Our overall team record for the Horn was 4-16. A week ago.
Yes, Jan and Michael Scott didn't help us last week whatsoever.
The Supreme Lending team, though, was one game worse, 3-17 last week. 3-17.
Ouch. Oh, you're twisting the knife now.
Yeah?
Just letting the people know.
That's true.
Best record last week was...
It was a weird week. You got to admit, that was a weird football week.
Well, who would have thought Green Bay would no-show the New Orleans game? Obviously, the New England-Miami game was a one-point game. Could have swung either direction, but most of us went with New England in that one, trusting them. But, the best week was Bob Cole over at Coke FM, 3-2. He had the only over 500 week of the picks. But we turned the page, kind of like the Longhorns, right, John?
Absolutely.
Got to turn the page. And, Buck, are we ready for this?
Yes, we are.
To turn the page, my friend?
Absolutely.
All right, let me get to our picks here. Because
hey, guys, real quick, if I could give a quick shout-out.
Please do.
I know you guys probably know, but I started a hot sauce company about a year and a half ago, ATX Hot Sauce. Austin Chronicle had their 31st annual festival and contest last weekend.
Yeah.
ATX Hot Sauce submitted four sauces, and all four of them won either two first-place finishes and two second-place finishes.
Ooh.
Well, congratulations, John, on that.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
What's the key to your hot sauce? Or can you reveal?
Passion.
Can't reveal that.
Passion.
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 That's always the key. Always the key.
You lead with passion, and then everything else comes.
That's what my wife says all the time. She said, that's the key, passion, dude.
Is that every Tuesday or every other?
That's like, yeah, once a month every Tuesday. Yeah, you're right.
Hey, John, let's hit the picks. Buck, you ready? Zay, yep. Do we have some theme music for pick time? And we'll start with one I know where most are going. It's Alabama at Florida, number 1 against number 11. It's in the swamp. Number one against number 11, Buck. I think I know where you're going. John, what's your pick?
I'm probably going to go with Alabama. It was hard, but I'm going that direction.
Roll Tide, Buck.
He said it was hard. What are you trying to get us to take Florida? We're not taking Florida. Roll Tide for sure.
You know, winning is hard.
Yeah, winning is hard.
Winning is hard.
Winning
Supreme
hard.
Lending Pick'em Contest. All right, a little tougher game. This line inside a touchdown. It's number 22, Auburn, on the road at 10th-ranked Penn State. Buck, who are we going with?
We're going with the Nittany Lions of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania State University.
Yes, we are.
John McClellan.
Nittany Lions.
All right. I mentioned earlier, the last 10 matchups between ranked SEC and Big Ten teams. The SEC is 8-1-1. We will see if Penn State, with James Franklin's name in the USC conversation, can turn the tide. That's a good game on Saturday. We've got to stay up late to see this one on tomorrow night. Oklahoma State at Boise State. Cowboys and Broncos in Idaho. John, what do you think?
I think the Cowboys like to stay up late and party, so I'm going to go with them.
Stillwater, what do you think, Buck?
I'm going to say Oklahoma State, too.
Oak State.
Oh.
All right, we're even on those. Now we go to the NFL. The Dallas
Cowboys. You already know who I'm picking. You already know who I'm picking.
So you're taking the Cowboys over the Chargers, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
All right, we'll take the Chargers.
We will take the Chargers. hate the week of injuries and bad news for the Cowboys. And then game of the weekend, Sunday night. The primetime games have been fantastic so far in the NFL. Might be one here, too. Kansas City at Baltimore. Ravens off the loss on Monday night to the Raiders. Chiefs off the come-from-behind win over Cleveland. Heavyweights in the AFC, Buck, who do we like?
Well, we're going to take the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes on the road. John?
I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs, too. I can't root against my fantasy football quarterback.
There you go.
Hey, John, appreciate it. We'll grade it again and have the scores next week. Thanks for being with us. And congratulations, ATX Hot Sauce. Where can folks pick that up?
ATXHotSauce.com.
ATXHotSauce.com and JohnMcClellan.com for the Supreme Lending.
Thank
for
you,
all the
John.
Mortgages.
We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, John. Congrats.
All right, talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go, John.
Say, was that the sauce that those guys left in here open all over the table on that when we came in here that Monday?
I don't know if that sauce made it.
Okay.
I don't know if they did.
How about that, the hot sauce festival? John's team cleaned up.
I love it.
Passion is the key. Will the Longhorns have the mindset and the passion tomorrow? Somebody texted something pithy that I think is relevant and says, calling it a get-well game, it says everything wrong with Texas. Is that true? I call it a get-well game because I think Texas overpowers Rice in every position. If they show up and play, they're going to win.
Yeah, I mean, get well, do the right thing, take care of your business. It's about us, not about you. Whatever you call it, don't take it. When you guys hear stuff, you like take it and run with it. Like a get well. No, call it whatever you want to. They should beat Rice.
Well, and it's a can't win game. Like if they win by 40,
that's what
they
I'm
were
saying.
Supposed to.
That's right.
And it's fair to say I can't take anything from that. Right, that doesn't mean, boy, if Texas comes in here, we're here on Monday, and they won 60-15 or 60-10, does it change your opinion on the Big 12? No. I mean, that's the thing. They don't get a chance to turn opinions of the perception of this program and this team.
Got
to
play who's right in front of you.
For a couple more weeks, but this is a chance to really, but you can't still have the fundamental breakdowns, because even in a 20-
And by the way, it is a get well. You know, you were sick last week.
Yeah, you were. Well, and I'm just saying, and Sark mentioned this, and I heard Jake Major say it this week, even in the Louisiana game, there were plenty of issues.
Yeah.
I mean, there were holding calls, and there were free runners coming on against that offensive line.
That's right.
They really, you talked about the mushy piles that the offensive line
were
creating.
For the run game, yes.
Heck, Brian Jones came on this radio station and talked about the pad level on defense and how the linebackers, they're going to get blown up if they're not careful against Arkansas. So, sure, there was enough to see. But clearly, and if you don't think, if Brian Jones and others can see it from the sidelines, the coaches saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coaching it. I mean, they were coaching it. That maybe now they're listening. And that would be the question. Can they get better? Meaning get better
right.
At the fundamental things that we've seen in two games now, one win and one loss. If we don't, it's a sign of trouble.
Well, that's where you don't understand when the wording is said. It's get better. Yep. Get well, get better. That's all. It's all the same.
Well, and you know,
dude.
I don't think that's an unfair statement. In that has been the problem at Texas. Oh, we got this. We're Texas. We'll show up. We'll beat Rice. No, they've got to improve in a lot of cases. If they do, and they have coming off a hard week of practice, as Sark has called it.
And which they should.
They'll roll this team. And if they do, then it's on to the next week, where you continue to improve player by player, position by
position. Yeah, because they still have to get better, even if they beat Rice. No matter what happens.
No doubt.
Whether they beat Rice or they're close to Rice or they don't win the Rice, they still have to get better for the following week who they play. Because the team will be better.
And it is a football game after all.
Yes.
And it's played by human beings. And against Arkansas, Rice was winning the game in the third quarter. So, there's the what ifs. What if Casey gets out there and struggles? Or what if he doesn't move the team? What if he has some issues? So who knows? I mean, those are the things we'll watch. We'll certainly discuss them and go week by week. But this is the last of the games that really don't count.
Yeah.
They begin to count next week.
That's when it counts. When you get into your conference, because you're playing to get to a championship game. That's what you're trying to do.
Starting next week, but it starts with Rice tomorrow. Thank you to John McClellan. Good picks right there. And you gave earlier, because you're already 0-1 in your Gold Star locks
the
week with the Washington football team.
Yes, I am.
Where's the defense, Washington? People need to quit bragging about Ron Rivera's defense. I've been doing it enough. I know that.
Someone even said, Buck, we're down. You and I are down to 5,000 units. Yeah, we are, because you took what I said. I'm down four games. I lost four, won three. I'm going with Arizona and
Arizona Cardinals.
UT. SA is my 10,000 unit play.
Against Middle Tennessee?
Against Middle Tennessee. That line is 13. Okay. Thank you very much.
Go Roadrunners.
Roadrunners. I'm a believer in the Runners. Sincere McCormick.
Who sang that song? Ooh, I'm a believer.
The Monkees.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Nice job.
We've been talking about Monkees all day.
That Monkees on the brain.
There you go.
And I got to give Isaiah Collier credit because you keep throwing him under the bus. He said Taylor Heinicke's a baller, and Taylor Heinicke was a baller last night. Us not covering our 5,000-unit lock was not about him. They won the game because of him. The problem is that stinking defense that's supposed to be great that was getting shredded by Daniel Jones.
You're letting Zay off the hook. Why do you let him off the hook?
He's
right there.
He was right on his call of Taylor Heinicke being a baller. He was a baller last night. 336 through the air, two touchdowns.
Against the New York Giants, he should have won by two touchdowns if he's a baller.
And he would have if his defense could stop somebody, get a stop. You realize they went seven straight possessions without forcing a punt. This vaunted defense against the New York Giants, they went seven straight possessions without forcing the Giants to punt the football.
Zay, you need to talk to Heinicke to talk to the rest of the damn team then.
Yeah, it's not Heinicke's fault they make Daniel Jones look like a right-handed Steve Young.
I know, man. I mean,
how many high first-round picks do they have in their front seven? Can somebody step up and make a play? Sack a quarterback? Do something. Good night.
And when they sack him, don't rough him. Fall into him.
Well, that was a big part of the game, too. Both teams had a lot of penalties.
By the way, I don't like that call. That's a lousy call.
Chase Young?
Yeah, I love when they say, hey, he should turn his body in midair.
That was bogus.
I mean, how do the announcers do that when they say, as he's coming down with the quarterback, he should try to turn his body?
Well,
and
here's the thing. This was a big penalty on Chase Young. It would have gotten him off the field in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And they called another one of these 15-yard ridiculous unsportsmanlike conduct calls. Well, this is what they're saying. That Chase Young is tackling a person who's 6'6" himself or 6'5", whatever Daniel Young.
Yes.
And he should turn and let him fall on top of him. That's really what should happen. These are both very big people, Chase Young and Daniel Jones. But he's not allowed to fall. He didn't hit him helmet on helmet. He just tackled him and fell on top. He happened to be the guy on top.
And then at the end, he was trying to turn sideways so he didn't kind of rough the guy. And it wasn't that big of a hit, I'm thinking.
But it was a huge play because it was third down.
Yes, it would have just been a field goal.
And yes, I mean, that was a massive. Those plays are ridiculous. But I do think the number for Washington last night, there were six or seven penalties that extended drives that would have been off the field. And that goes to the not forcing them to punt. So it was about their own inability to not make penalties, but that one was bogus.
Mm.
So, yeah, Washington defense, overrated so far. Should have started because I picked up the Cardinals defense, too. That's one of your Gold Star locks.
Yes.
I think they're going to destroy your guy, Kirk Cousins.
I think so, too. Yeah,
Sunday.
That's not going to be fun.
My guy, J.J. Watt, coming after him. We'll be back. B&E on the horn. We'll wrap up our portion of Friday here on the horn. We'll hand the baton to the Light the Tower guys. We'll reset your top stories and reset the weekend. It's B&E on the horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
He said, L-A-M-O, Bucky, did you really call Trey Tammy Faye?
I did.
That's like Tammy Faye Baker?
Yeah, there's a movie coming out. There's a series coming out, right, with Tammy Faye?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen this. I didn't know this was happening.
Yeah, that's about to happen. So I thought I don't want to call him Jan any longer. I don't think that was fair.
I did see the preview for the Monica Lewinsky series.
Is that really Monica Lewinsky who's playing it? But she's directing it. She's directing.
She's a producer of it.
But she's not. That's not her, is it?
I believe it's the same people that made that O.J. Simpson series, Made in America, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
That miniseries or whatever it was, the same thing. And so, yeah, it's all about Monica Lewinsky. And
where do I know that lady's face from that's playing Monica Lewinsky then? There's...
I don't know.
She's not the actress that's really blonde that has a, you know, the round shoulder one that has, that plays... Well, back to training again. Is that what that means? When you guys drop your heads, I always think, oh, there we go. Back to training once again. There's another 2 weeks of training. But she's a comedian. She's in that, the dancing. You getting it? Am I getting close to it? Do you get it, anybody out there? She's in the Broadway thing where they all dance and sing.
Impeachment, American Crime Story, a mini-series debuts Tuesday,
all right.
Says
so
here.
What's the one who's playing Monica Lewinsky?
It's on FX channel.
There you go. The actress that plays Monica Lewinsky is the one from...
Playing Lewinsky is Benny Feldstein, who drew praise in Booksmart and What We Do in the Shadows. Playing Paula Jones is Anna Lee Ashford, a Tony Award winner who was in... Be Positive.
No, it's not Rebel Wilson. That's who I thought it was, with a black wig on.
Oh, no.
But it's
Rebel Wilson's not round shouldered no more.
Huh?
She lost mad weight.
Mad weight. Okay.
I'm sorry.
So there you go. Is this something you will... Because I still have to binge watch the New York Mets miniseries, 30 for 30.
Well, no, I won't watch this because the dude is playing Clinton doesn't look anything like Clinton. That fake nose deal that they got him where... That thing is, it's like Groucho Marx.
Well,
I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, when you initially see it, you're like, no, but as it goes on, you kind of get used to it. Like even the O.J. Simpson thing, he didn't really look like O.J. Simpson.
Cuba Gooding?
Yeah. That's Cuba Gooding. That's like, throw me the money here. Show me the money.
Show me the money! No, he didn't look like it. But the guy who played Johnny Cochran did.
Yeah. Yeah, that some dude, of them do. Some of them are spot on, but sometimes. But then you just kind of get used to it.
But that guy that played... Johnny Cochran, the same guy from Seinfeld, was that
Johnny Childs?
Was that Johnny Childs? Right?
Oh, I hope so. That would be good casting because Johnny Childs was on point.
They had Ross from Friends playing Kardashian.
Oh yeah,
what?
Kim's daddy.
Yeah,
Kim and Khloe's.
So you can't make.
Well, I don't know. If
you can't
Khloe's
make
dad.
Those people do miniseries that are serious. You can't have Friends doing that. Well, you know Jennifer Aniston in the morning. Show or whatever that is,
she
does
a
great
job. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the second season of that show.
Yeah, first she does a good job. She can do that.
I thought that was a one-off. I didn't know they were continuing that the morning show with
no,
Jennifer
they're going
Aniston
again.
And Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah,
and the rest. I mean, that was Steve Carell. That first year was good.
Chad, Michael Scott.
Well, it is odd. I mean, the fact that the miniseries. The morning show is kind of based after the Today Show, so you can, instead of seeing Steve Carell and think Michael Scott, you can actually think Matt Lauer.
I can.
You can think Matt Lauer.
I can think.
Okay, I get that, and there's kind of a resemblance.
And Jennifer Aniston, I just think that's Jennifer Aniston, and she can do anything she wants.
That's Jane Pauley.
No, it doesn't matter.
Or no, what was her name? Who was the Good Morning America?
I think it was Jane Pauley.
Today Show. Jane Pauley?
Yeah, but...
This wasn't the one when Matt Lauer was there. Katie Couric.
I don't even think of Katie Couric. I say, oh, it's Jennifer Aniston. That's okay anytime, period. Whatever she's playing is good.
I just think of Matt Lauer, who had like the button under his desk drawer that he could push and it would shut the door and lock
it. That's kind of creepy.
That's very
it's
creepy.
It's not kind of creepy. That
like
is
he would
creepy.
Have these ladies into his office and then he'd hit this button, whoosh, lock.
I tell you who I saw. I saw not Michael Scott, but the other dude that's with him. And there, his buddy is the right hand man there on the office.
Jim?
No, not Jim. Not the good dude.
Dwight?
Not Dwight.
Dwight Schrute?
Dwight Schrute. I saw him try to play another role. I was like, no.
That's Rainn Wilson.
It's not working
it
for
is
me.
Weird. I mean, I always thought that about Tony Soprano, right? I mean, when James Gandolfini tried to do other stuff, he did a good job, but it's like you cannot get away from that. It's not possible. It's not. Michael Scott's tough to distance yourself from. Tony Soprano's impossible. He was such an omnipresent character. And it almost is like when I see Ross from Friends. Like, I can't take David Schwimmer
It's hard to
Seriously.
Do. Oh, yeah, no, you
He's
can't.
He's always the goofy dude.
It's hard to do.
Yes,
it really is.
It is, and he did play. But they and the thing about it, it's like I know they want to go on and be actors and do their profession, but you know the Ross the Friends characters are still making like $20 million a year.
I know. And by the way, Daryl can't sell me a pizza. I'm not eating a pizza because Daryl from The Office is selling.
No, he's not. He's not on that commercial.
Daryl is selling pizzas now. What is that pizza?
Craig Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pizza Hut.
I think that's pizza. The guy from Ray Donovan.
No, that's Daryl. That's Daryl from The Office.
Maybe we're thinking of different pizza commercials.
Yeah, but I can't eat Daryl's pizza. I won't go by because of him.
Hey,
I've seen what it's done to him.
That's a Bud Light Football Friday. It's in the books here on the Horn. Thank you to Lee Sterling, John McClellan, and the rest. Bucky's got Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, baby.
And the Roadrunners.
The Roadrunners.
As gold star locks. I'm giving you Cincinnati, the Bearcats.
Okay.
And I will be on board with your Arizona Cardinals pick. And I've got the
Good
LA
job.
Chargers.
All right.
By a touchdown or more over your Cowboys. We'll debate on Monday. Longhorns tomorrow night. Coming next, it's Shirts and Skins with Craig Way, Jeff Howe. Excuse me, it's Light the Tower with Craig Way, Jeff Howe, and the great Snoop Daniel. Also, Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey, or Tammy Faye, and then RBKD this afternoon. Remember, high school football pregame starts at 6:30. You'll hear Bucky carry Mark Honig
Thank
on the broadcast
you.
Tonight. Lake Travis and San Marcos. You're on 104.9. Buck, I know it's a busy Friday night into
yes,
Saturday
sir.
For you, so enjoy it, my friend.
Yeah, I will. It's going to be great.
Be careful out there. Be part of the solution, not the problem. Every hour of this show, podcast at hornfm.com.